puppies. Who doesn't enjoy seeing puppies?
We have a special feature on puppies and the incredible lesson they can teach us on today's episode of Wake Up With Hope.
And much more to get your day started off right.
Come along with us.
Good morning and happy Wednesday. Welcome to a new episode of Wake Up With Hope.
Today, friends, is National Pancake Day. And, well, yes. Does that need any explanation?
No, it doesn't. You know, pancakes are favorite in many, many homes. Have you ever had pancakes for dinner?
We sure have. That is a really good way to eat them.
Yes.
Today is a great day to do just that, friends. Try making them a little healthier by making them from scratch, using whole wheat flour, and add your favorite fruit as a topping.
Oh, yeah. Yes, and talking about cooking, we have a delicious recipe to share with you on today's program. But before we go there, let's take a look at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1953, Cambridge University scientists James D. Watson and Francis H.C. Crick, aided by Rosalind Franklin, announced that they had determined the double helix structure of DNA, the molecule containing human genes. According to their findings, DNA replicates itself by separating into individual strands, each of which becomes the template for a new double helix. The trio had solved a fundamental mystery of science: how it was possible for genetic instructions to be held inside organisms and passed from generation to generation.
You know, friend, the human body is simply amazing. And it's an undeniable fact that we were intricately and carefully made. Notice that in the creation story, God spoke everything into existence, everything that is, except Adam. When it came time to make humanity, God stooped down to form him. He perfectly shaped him and designed him. And we were made in the image of God. You were made in the image of God for his glory. And God longs to reveal his glory through you. So today, surrender to him and allow Jesus to shine through you to the world.
Amen. Well, fall has come and gone and pumpkin season is over. Or is it? It's never a bad time for pumpkin, friends. So Ready, Set, Cook is in the kitchen this morning whipping up pumpkin hummus. Have you ever noticed that dogs have no worries? Why don't they? Well, let's dig a little deeper into this on today's episode of Dog Tales.
Seems many of us are born worriers. What if the stock market crashes? What if interest rates go up? What if I lose my job? And the list goes on. Sometimes when planning my day, I'll say to my wife, I won't worry about that today. I'll worry about that tomorrow. She quickly stops me and says, Neil, would you like to rephrase that? Yeah, good point, I say. I'll think about that tomorrow, not worry about it. You see, worry causes stress. It just eats you up on the inside. It can even make you feel physically sick. But what's the point of worrying anyway? Look at him. Cyrus never seems to worry. He doesn't get all stressed out about his future. He lives in the moment. And yet you think about it. He's got no ability to feed himself. You'd hardly call him self-sufficient. He relies on us for everything. We feed him. We give him a place to sleep. If he's unwell, we take him to the vet. We walk him every day. No matter what he needs, we make sure he's looked after. Cyrus trusts us to fulfill his needs, and that enables him to just enjoy life. I guess you could say he lives in the now. He does one thing at a time, loving what he does on each occasion. Okay. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life." The reason we don't need to worry is because just as we look after Cyrus, Jesus looks after us. And here's the point. Cyrus is happy because his simple needs are met. He doesn't get depressed worrying about what other dogs think of him. He doesn't look in the mirror and think his collar is not as upmarket as the neighbour's, or get stressed because his hair's going grey. He doesn't fret because of how much money's in his bank account. He's got none. He doesn't even feel life is unfair because dogs live shorter lives than humans. He's just content. And that allows him to sit and relax, play, or laze around in the sun. If Cyrus could sing, I think his favourite song would be, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." That's his attitude on life. What about you?
If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And don't forget to visit our YouTube channel. Simply search for Wake Up With Hope and keep up with each one of our episodes.
We'll be right back with a talk on puppies.
Puppies, who doesn't love these adorable little furry pals? Well, we have a special feature coming up right now on puppies and an amazing life lesson that can teach us. Let's watch.
Do you remember your first dog? Mine was a brown and black German Shepherd puppy. To me, he was the cutest pup in the whole world, and I called him Darcy. Oh boy, did he have a lot of puppy fun with me and my family. But not long after we got him home, he stopped eating, so we rushed him to the vet, only to be told the worst news possible. Darcy had caught parvovirus, and he was dying. I remember clearly standing in the vet, holding my dad's hand, when they brought Darcy out to see us. He looked sad and frail. When I called his name, Darcy's face lit up and his tail wagged, and he looked at me with a big happy smile. I thought he was getting better, but the vet said, "No, he hasn't got much time to live." Later that night, we got that dreaded phone call. I ran outside to where Darcy's kennel was. The strange feeling of sadness came over me, tears streaming down my cheeks. I climbed inside Darcy's kennel and cried. I found out later that the one thing that could have saved Darcy from the virus was to get him vaccinated. It was a hard lesson to learn as a little boy in love with his first puppy. The world we live in is infected with a deadly virus. It's killing millions and millions worldwide. I'm not talking about the common flu virus. I'm talking about something called sin. The Bible describes sin as disobedience of God's life principles. It's because we have disobeyed these life principles that we open ourselves up to experiencing pain, suffering, sickness, and ultimately death. Is there a vaccine for our disobedience? The Bible says the result of disobeying God's life principles is death. Well, that sounds final. It also continues the thought by saying, but the gift of God is life through Jesus. You see, there is a remedy, a vaccine, and it's a gift to you. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe your struggles in life are truly unbearable. The pain, the sorrow, the guilt, the regrets, are they weighing you down? I remember when my dad was on his dying bed. My older brother sat next to him and said, "Dad, forgive me for everything that I have done wrong to you and Mum." My dad's words were, "Son, I forgave you a long time ago. All these years, my brother carried this burden of guilt, not knowing that he was already forgiven." The Bible says, "Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sins is covered." You see, you are blessed when your wrongs are forgiven. It's like a heavy burden being lifted off you. You feel free, and a sense of peace settles down deep in your heart. This is a hope that brings you comfort, knowing that even though you don't acknowledge God, he still loves you, and that everything already has been done to help you and me, even before we accept him into our lives. Just like our first puppy, we didn't get him to the vet in time. But while you have breath in you, there is still time to receive God's vaccine, which is found in discovering Jesus. And the best way to discover Jesus is to do something very simple. Pick up the Bible and read it. Everything you need are between its pages.
Coming up right after a short break will be Pastor John Bradshaw from It Is Written sharing a thoughtful message from the Bible with us. Welcome back to our morning program. How are you enjoying our program this morning? Please send us a message on Facebook and let us know.
This morning, John Bradshaw from It Is Written is with us here today to share an encouraging message with us.
Hey, great to see you. I hope you're doing well today, blessed and encouraged in the Lord. My name is John Bradshaw from It Is Written. It's really a joy to have this time from you. You know, somebody once famously coined the phrase, "Space, the final frontier." You know, there's a lot of it out there. The universe is vast. I don't know if anyone has any real comprehension of just how big it is. But recently, NASA made an announcement that they have located now 5,000 exoplanets. Those are actual planets outside our solar system. Now, for the layperson, that seems almost impossible. But if you're in the know, you might understand how that process works. I'm not suggesting that the Hubble telescope or the James Webb telescope have been implicated or used for these things, but we have those telescopes floating around in the sky. We have stations here on the Earth. We have very highly trained, intelligent, perspicacious scientists who are monitoring the skies and looking deep into space. And they found these planets outside of the Milky Way. That means they're a long, long, long way away. Some of them are bigger than the Earth. They call them super Earths. Some of them the size of Jupiter, some the size of Neptune. Now, that's pretty big, because if the Earth was the size of a nickel, Neptune would be in comparison the size of a baseball. Pretty big Neptune, big place. And they found planets, exoplanets, outside our solar system that are that size. I mean, how big is the solar system? The universe, 5,000 of these things. But what one scientist said recently, she said, they believe there are 200 billion exoplanets that we haven't yet found. I mean, you need to try to get your mind around that, but I just don't know if you can. So exoplanets, big planets, most of them outside our solar system, found 5,000, but there's just this almost countless number besides that are to be found. The first time I ever heard that there are millions of galaxies, or was it billions? I don't want to exaggerate. Millions is an awful lot. I thought to myself, it's a very big universe we have. Very, very big. The Milky Way is about 100,000 light years across, which means that if at creation Adam had started traveling at the speed of light, he would be barely 1/20th of the way across the galaxy. It's just vast, so, so big. But what does that tell you about God who made this all? The challenge that many people have is that their God is too small. Aunt Mabel is sick. You shrug your shoulders. What can anyone do? Hold on a minute. Did you go to God and wrestle with God and plead with God that Aunt Mabel would get well? Maybe you did and she didn't get well. In that case, we trust God. But maybe you didn't. Maybe you should have. Maybe you still should. What's your default reaction? Somebody loses a job. Oh, you lose a job. What's the default reaction? Complain about the boss. That might or might not be a valid response, but the default reaction needs to be to pray. It needs to be to pray, to look to God. You're threatened with eviction. What do? You say, well, wait a minute. My landlord really is God. I'm going to trust in God. I'll do what I can. I'll negotiate. I'll save. I'll do this. I'll do that. But my landlord is really God. They're downsizing at your company. Who is it who's ultimately in control? Who's taking care of you? That's God. Do you trust that God would take care of you? Hold on a minute. What do we say? Outside of the Milky Way, they've found 5,000 exoplanets. They reckon there's 200 billion exoplanets out there. Some of them are gigantic. How big is your God? That's the question I want to ask you today. Is he able to provide for you? The Bible says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If you believe that, then you believe that, and you will trust that God is able to provide for your need. A crushing blow comes into your life. It could be financial, could be social, could be marital maybe. What do you do? Does it flatten you completely? Or do you say, no, wait a minute, Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So in spite of this real difficulty that's going on in my life, I want to trust that Jesus is with me. I wonder if I ever told you this. I might have. If I did, it's worth telling you again, because it's certainly very relevant to what we're talking about here. I went to visit a lady one day. I was pastoring in a certain church, and she was a church member. She contacted me and said, Pastor, come visit me. Now, I'd visited her several times already. So this was interesting. She summoned me to her bedside at the residential care facility. I wondered what could be up. She said to me, Pastor, I've always tried to get cancer in a part of my body where I had two of something. She said, I lost a kidney. I lost a breast. I lost an eye. I wondered where she was going with this. She said, but you know, Pastor, I only have one liver. I said, you have liver cancer? She said, I do. I said, what are they telling you? She said, there isn't really any hope. I said, oh, well, how are you doing? How are you going to be? You know what she said? She said to me, I figure that me and Jesus are going to get through this together. Now, she didn't say Jesus and I. That might have been more appropriate grammatically. But she said, I believe me and Jesus. So I'll never forget those words. I repeated those words at her funeral several months later. She was a character. I mean that in the most respectful way. She had a spark about her. I mean, anybody who would say to me what she said to me, you know, she's got some personality. And she did. I can never forget her faith. She was confronted by a terminal illness, which she knew was going to take her life. And she said, going to be okay, because together with Jesus, I will get through this. No, it's not that she had greater faith than anybody necessarily. She didn't have access to something that you and I don't have access to. She just had a big God. She had the kind of God that made a universe, put all those exoplanets out there, planets way outside our solar system. Put those millions of galaxies out there. Her God was the one who put the red spot on the side of Jupiter and wrapped the rings around Saturn. Her God was the one who could bring water out of a rock and carpet the ground with manna. Her God was the one who could bring down the walls of Jericho and open up the Red Sea. Her God was the one that stopped the River Jordan from flowing so that Elijah could cross over one way and come back the other. Her God was able to open the eyes of the blind and cause the lame to leap as an hart or a deer, you understand. Her God was the one who was able to raise the dead, and she knew that one day Jesus would come back and raise her from the dead. Exoplanets. You're never going to see one with the naked eye, at least not this side of the second coming of Jesus, but they can tell you something. They can tell you that the God of heaven is a great big God. He is big enough to help you through. He's big enough to help you with your challenges. He'll see you through your worries, and he will provide every need. My prayer for you today is that you will discover that your God is a great big God.
Thank you, Pastor John.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. Now, don't forget to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to learn more about what we have going on.
And be sure to tune in tomorrow. We have a special feature from Reflections of Hope, music by Hope Harmonies, and more. Plus, Faith for Today will share a devotion with us.
And if you enjoyed today's message, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides designed with you in mind.
Again, that's hope.study, and subscribe to our YouTube channel to keep up with us there.
And before we go, we have a Bible promise just for you. And today's promise is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9.
For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us.
You know, that's an incredible truth that we really need to digest. God does not stand ready to condemn us. On the contrary, he longs to save us. He calls out to each one of us. He tugs at our hearts to come to him, to turn to him. So friends, won't you turn to him today and be saved and enter into that abiding relationship with him?
Amen. Well, friends, we hope you have a wonderful Wednesday, and we can't wait to see you tomorrow.
Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, we have been so blessed today. And we pray that you would guard our hearts so that we don't lose any of the blessings that you have given us. Keep us faithful by opening our eyes to see you at every step of the day. So thank you, Lord, for answering our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.